Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Bible reveals that in eternity past, God had a purpose, a plan. But man, created by God to fulfill that purpose, became fallen and under a curse. Did God then change his plan? How did he deal with such an apparent setback? He dealt with it by simply making a promise. Stay with us today as we look at the fall, the curse, and the promise on this edition of Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Dick, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Chris. Really good to be here on this program.
We're going to see something tremendous today, Dick. We alluded to it in our opening, and that is that God dealt with all the problems that occupied his people by simply making a promise to one man, and that man was Abraham. What were the circumstances, Dick, that led up to God's promise to his called one, Abraham?
The circumstances were the extreme fall of man away from God. We can see a definite downward spiral from Adam all the way to the time of Abraham. There was not only a fall away from God's presence down to man's conscience, but a fall from man's conscience down to human government, even a rejection of human government down to a fall to the uttermost. Somewhat it looked like there might be a little recovery at the time of Noah, but again, a tremendous fall, even to the point of Babel. And with Babel, you have nothing but division, confusion, and absolute rebellion. These are the circumstances that led up to the promise that was given to Abraham. Man was in a tremendous mess, and God's economy was greatly frustrated. But hallelujah for the promise to Abraham.
Dick, we're going to hear the gospel that Abraham heard. How about that? Let's join Witness Lee.
The Bible tells us in the New Testament that in eternity past, God had made a purpose, a plan, to have a people chosen by him and receiving the sonship to become sons of God, with God's son as the firstborn one, to be formed into a corporate man to express God for eternity. Because God's purpose was to have a chosen people. So man was the focus of God's creation. Man was made just like God. Even though man didn't have God's divine life, God's divine nature at the time of man's creation, yet we have to realize man was made in a potential very much like God, that one day man may receive God into man, that one day God may get into this man who has the potential to be one with him. Man was made in such a way. Then, after the creation, Adam fell. Adam brought in the fall of humankind. And that fall brought in mainly 2 things. Number one, sin and sins. Sin within man and sins outside of man. Number 2, the curse. The very man created by God in his own image, after his own likeness, now God involved with sin and sins under a curse. So from Genesis 3, this mankind was going down, all the time downward. To go downward indicated that man was under a curse, going downward. Down to Babel, down into a kind of a confusion. That was a strong indication that humankind was under a curse, involved with sins outside and sin inside under a curse. In that kind of downward situation, the God of glory appeared to Abraham. Now you have another person by the name Abraham. In the downward situation, he was called by God. And God gave him the promise, in you, all these nations, downward nations, shall be blessed. Surely this is good news. No wonder Paul considered this as the gospel. God came in to call Abraham and give him the promise of blessing. With the background of curse, all the nations were under the curse. But Abraham, in you, all these cursed nations shall be blessed. And this was the promise. And this was the word quoted again and again by the Apostle Paul, when he told us that was not only a promise, neither only a covenant, but a gospel. And that promise was the preaching of the gospel. And that covenant was the confirmation of the gospel. That was the gospel. In you, all the cursed, divided, going downward nations shall be blessed.
Well, Brother Dick, if the word gospel means good news, then surely Abraham received the gospel, didn't he?
He did.
Here he was amidst this fallen condition that you spoke about earlier, this unstoppable downward spiral, and he himself was also caught in that spiral. Yet God came in to make a promise to him. What was the good news that Abraham heard that day?
The good news that Abraham heard was that in spite of man being in the fall, in sin, and under a curse, God, through Abraham's seed, would bless all the nations of this earth. And that blessing is seen in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, where he mentions the seed. That seed is Christ. Then in verse 14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations. That is the promise of the Spirit. This is too tremendous, because here's man under sin and under a curse, but the Lord would bless man to such an extent that he himself would come and even become the life-giving Spirit to enter into man, to be one with man, and to build man together in himself into a corporate expression of himself called the church, and eventually consummating in the New Jerusalem. So the good news that Abraham heard was about this marvelous seed, Christ, who is not just an objective Christ, but is even called the wonderful Spirit to reach man, enter into man, unite with man, and build himself into man and make man and God one for the fulfillment of his economy. Hallelujah for the promise of the Spirit.
And hallelujah for that one unique, marvelous seed.
Amen.
Through whom all the nations would be blessed.
That's right.
Dick, let's go back. We're going to come back to where we were a few weeks ago. We spent 16 weeks in the life study of Exodus, and we insert this marvelous book of Galatians in a very timely way, but this coming portion is going to take us back. Let's rejoin Witness Lee in Exodus.
Here in Abraham, you have a promise, but the promise still was not the fact. The Bible tells us that after Abraham, his descendants all went down into Egypt, into that tyranny. And there they surely passed through the darkness for at least 400 years. Then after those 400 years, God brought them out of the darkness, out of the tyranny in Egypt. And God treated them not according to law, because the law was not given yet. God treated them just according to the promise he gave to their forefather Abraham. God had no intention to give them the law. God, from the very beginning of the book of Exodus, did have the intention to show them the pattern of the tabernacle, to have them feasting unto him. God had this intention. There, during the feasting time, God would reveal to them, God would show them the pattern of his dwelling place. I still couldn't call a verse out of this book showing us that before chapter 19, God did have the intention to give them the law. Israel all said, whatever God told us, we will do it. When they expressed that kind of attitude that they will keep God's word, the weather, the atmosphere, right away changed from being warm into coldness. It was under that kind of situation the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law, was given. So here you have a third name. With Adam, there was the fall. With Abraham, there was the promise. With Moses, here was the law. Terrifying, exposing, demanding, condemning. But have you noticed? Thank God. Right after the decree of the law, it's these three chapters, the situation there around Mount Sinai changed again. Even though the law with its ordinances was given, yet actually, even from that day, God didn't deal with the children of Israel according to the law. God dealt with them through the tabernacle. They didn't contact God through the law. They contacted God through the tabernacle, through the priesthood, through all the offerings. The priesthood, the offerings, with the tabernacle, all these are a fulfillment of the promise to Abraham in type.
Well, Dick, we've talked before about how this life study of Galatians is being inserted into the middle of our study dealing with Exodus. So it's good that we've come back to Exodus for this message today. In Exodus, Dick, we saw all too clearly that God surely gave his people the law, but he also gave them the tabernacle. What does it mean, what we just heard now in this last portion, that he gave them the law, but he dealt with them, not according to law, according to the tabernacle?
This is precious. To deal with his people according to the tabernacle means his people are able to contact him not through the law, but through the tabernacle. The tabernacle is very precious because this is related to the promise that was given to Abraham. This is the first stage of fulfillment. We could say the stage of fulfillment in type. Eventually, Jesus Christ himself is the actual fulfillment. But the first stage of fulfillment of the promise to Abraham is the fulfillment in type, signified by the tabernacle. God's people were able to contact him, and he was able to contact his people through the tabernacle, because you have the tabernacle built, you have the altar erected, you have the priesthood and all the offerings established. These are all types of Christ. There's no way that sinful man can contact and have fellowship with the holy God apart from the tabernacle, signifying the crucified and resurrected Christ. The altar shows the offerings had to be slain so that man could be washed from his sin, could be forgiven. He could enter into the tabernacle and enjoy God in fellowship. Well, this is all a type of Christ. Eventually, Christ came, and it says, the Word became flesh in John 1:14 and tabernacled among us. And then in John 1:29, it says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For God to contact his people through the tabernacle is very precious because it's the first stage of fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, but it's only in type. It's pointing us to this marvelous Christ. Thank the Lord for the altar. Thank the Lord for the priesthood. Thank the Lord for all the offerings, allowing God and man to become one and to have the most precious fellowship.
Dick, I'm really looking forward to this final section today. It's one of those times when Witness Lee was able to, in such few words, encapsulate the essence of the whole divine revelation. That's a big lead up, but we're going to see. Here's Witness Lee.
The fourth name came. Adam, Abraham, Moses. What is the fourth name? Jesus Christ. He came. He came to do what? He came just to fulfill the promise God made to Abraham. He came to fulfill the promise according to righteous requirements of the law given through Moses. And by doing this, he brought God's chosen people out of the curse. He came to fulfill the law of Moses and brought God's people out of the curse to fulfill the promise to Abraham. So the promise eventually became not only a covenant, but a testament, a will that indicates everything was accomplished. Everything was done. The law was taken care of. All the requirements were met. And the curse was taken away. And the promise was fulfilled. Now in this one, the seed of Abraham, all the divided, cursed, going downward nations are blessed. Not only shall be blessed, but all are blessed. And this dear one right now becomes the all-inclusive spirit for our enjoyment. And this is the all-inclusive land. Any more names? Only four. Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus Christ. Is there any fifth name? Don't say no. Yes. The church. Who enjoyed the testament? The church. The believing people. The people of faith. The household of faith. Not the working people, not the doing people, the people of faith. The household of faith. So they inherit, they enjoy, they partake, they experience all the blessing. And what is the blessing? That is the triune God. Hallelujah. Adam, Abraham, Moses, Christ, and the church. The sixth, the New Jerusalem. Now you have an entire Bible with only six names. Adam, Abraham, Moses, Christ, the church, and the New Jerusalem. Now you can see the promise surely is versus law. Poor law, you are nowhere. You're just something added. God didn't have any intention concerning you. God never thought about you. God thought about Adam. God thought about Abraham. God thought about Christ. God thought about the church, including you and me. And God thought about the New Jerusalem. Amen. The ultimate consummation of all of us. Amen. And we are today in the church, and we'll be there in the New Jerusalem. Amen. Have you got all the names? Amen. Very good. Now, from Adam to Abraham, how many years? Very interesting. 2,000 years. And from Abraham to Christ, how many years? 2,000 years. And from Christ to today, 2,000 years. The fall lasted 2,000 years. The promise lasted 2,000 years. And hallelujah. the fulfillment of the promise, also has lasted 2,000 years. Quite meaningful. Then the kingdom. And we will not be satisfied with the kingdom. The kingdom is only 1,000. 1,000 in the eyes of God, just like one day. I don't have to be there just for one day. Oh, we aspire to enter into the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
For eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, Dick, in this last section, we were able to present one of those moments in time during the ministry of our brother, Witness Lee, when he was able to crystallize the entire divine revelation in just a few short minutes. On this particular occasion, the context that he used was this list of six names that convey a complete overview of the Bible. Dick, tell us about Adam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus Christ, the church, and the New Jerusalem.
What an awesome overview of the whole Bible. With Adam, in a simple way, what do you have? Sin and the curse. We just have the fall of man. But with Abraham, we have a marvelous word, the promise, which we've been speaking of during this whole program. Then with Moses, you have the tabernacle with the law. But the tabernacle as the first stage of fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham, so that God and man could become one. But then the fourth name, Jesus Christ. What a name, what a person. This one is the fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham. This is the seed of Abraham. And this is the one who, after death and resurrection, became a life-giving spirit so that we could enjoy the promise of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 3:14. That means God reaches us, God enters into us, God becomes one with us. We're even united with Him, mingled with Him. He lives in us, we live in Him. This is too awesomely wonderful. And we can all day long say, "Oh, Lord, You're so sweet, so dear, so near, because You're the Spirit." Then the next word is the church, which is what? The church is just the increase of this wonderful person, Jesus Christ. What's the church? The church is just this wonderful Jesus getting into all of His people. When Paul was saved, he heard this voice from heaven speaking. But eventually he realized the one who was speaking from the heavens was also in all of His people on the earth. He realized this was one wonderful person. It was the wonderful Jesus who was in organic union with all of His believers. That's Jesus Christ enlarging Himself by getting into all of His people, the church. And then the consummation of the church is just New Jerusalem, which is the ultimate consummation of the uniting and mingling and incorporating of the process triune God with all of His redeemed, regenerated, transformed, and glorified tripartite people. In other words, it's the ultimate consummation of God's eternal economy. God and man are fully blended as a loving pair into the most precious oneness in the universe for the fulfillment of God's heart's desire. This is the gospel in the book of Galatians. Don't you appreciate these six words? All the way from Adam to Abraham to Moses to Jesus Christ, the church. And we have to shout. I hope all of you who are listening also say, New Jerusalem. This is not just some material entity. This is the ultimate consummation of God completely mingled into oneness with all of His people for eternity, for His expression and for His satisfaction. Hallelujah for these six words summarizing the entire economy of God.
Dick, I don't think it's too much to conjecture that probably a lot of people hearing this were surprised at the last two, the church and the New Jerusalem, being included in that list. Many people don't have that kind of view that we just heard. But at one time, though the church has been somewhat depreciated over the centuries in how it's not only been manifested but also appreciated by the saints in the church, at one time it was not that way. And we really need this kind of recovered view of God's purpose through His believers, as you said, His enlargement and the incorporation of God with man ultimately in the New Jerusalem.
Amen. That's really true. We need to see this view.
Well, this is the recovered view, and that's why we have a recovery version, and this kind of ministry in this century, we feel, is certainly from the Lord to bring these things back to the fresh and present consciousness of His people.
Isn't it good, Chris, to realize God's economy is totally focused on a person? That person is Jesus Christ. And by His getting into His believers, it's just this same person becoming larger. And ultimately, New Jerusalem is just His consummation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Dick, for your fellowship, the life study of Galatians. We're going to continue for the balance of this week and into next. Please come back and join us again.
I'd like to.
Before we go, let me point out that, as we always do at this time, the life study messages from the book of Galatians. If you'll contact us, we'll be glad to get it off to you right away. I'm Chris Wilde, and thank you very much for listening.